When I was little, my father had a scanner, one of those police scanners, the radios that you can listen to, ambulance dispatches and police dispatches. And it always occurred to me how important a job that was. I always admired people who worked in that particular field. And only recently has it come to my attention that those are real people behind the voices, and that they are really under a lot of pressure to get their job right. Only recently has it come to my attention that they have to go in, and it's not just punching a clock. They have to go in and be ready for whatever the day is going to throw at them. And I've often thought of how many jobs I've had throughout the years, working in a factory or working in a bakery, where you go in and you're just not having that really good day, and you come in with a really bad attitude. It's the last place in the world you want to be. And I thought, wow, these folks who are dispatchers and who work in emergency services and things like that, they're not allowed to have that kind of bad day. They have to bring a kind of professionalism, a kind of gravitas, a kind of severity and sincerity that really needs to be there 100% of the time. They can't very well say, you know, I'm not going to answer this call because my blood sugar is kind of low and I stopped out to get some ho-hos or something. I mean, they really have to go and be there 100% of the time. They have to be ready. And when I started thinking about that, it really impressed me, the diligence and the professionalism, the dedication that folks in that kind of field, any field where there's emergencies and lives at stake. And that got me to thinking about the importance of professionalism in all walks of life, in every job that we have. We should bring that kind of excellence to everywhere that we go. Now, some of you know that this past week, I had to go home to Rochester, to my folks' home, for a few days. And Friday morning, I got up awful early, and I turned on the television, and it was about 5:30 in the morning. And there was a telethon on television, a religious telethon. And the folks who were on the religious telethon, they had perfect hair and they were on a perfect studio set. All the plants were perfect. Everything was just wonderful and beautiful and gorgeous. And they were talking about how their new system in their telethon, their new telethon system was that they could take your donation to their ministry by credit card. And they were talking about how this was a new innovation, and they were encouraging, as the kickoff of this new technology, that everybody give $1,000 on their credit card. Call in today and get $1,000. And they panned away from the studio and they showed the operators waiting to take your call. And it was about as exciting to watch as those PBS pledge breaks, right? Where you always change the channel because it's just a bunch of people sitting around in cubicles with the headpieces on and the microphone. And there were cubicles and everybody was dressed very professionally, but not a lot was happening. And it was rather dull looking. And they were demonstrating the new computers that they had been able to buy with donations and the new phone bank software and the cubicles. Yet, not once did they mention in their telethon any mission or ministry. Not once did they mention any cool drink of water given to the thirsty. Not once did they mention any donation going to a missionary overseas who puts his or her life in danger to preach the gospel somewhere else. Now, maybe I didn't watch for very long. Maybe this church does do that. Maybe this television station does sponsor those things. But from what I saw, you would have been hard-pressed to say where that happened and what happened. So I turned off the television, and I decided to walk down the road to go to the local coffee shop. And as I walked down the road towards the local coffee shop, at the end of our street is the little church where I grew up. And as I passed the little church where I grew up, right on the corner across the street from that church, there's a Roman Catholic church that is no longer in existence. It closed within the last 2 years, and it closed because of declining money, and it closed because of declining influence, and less people were coming to worship services. And so now it sits there as a chapel and is occasionally used for worship services, for funerals and things like that, but it's not used on Sunday mornings, and it's not a regular church any longer. Across the street from that, there's a food bank. There's a little, tiny little food bank, and I looked at this food bank, and it's in an old church building, no longer being used as a church. And it could use a coat of paint or two. And I know that my parents' church has some spots where the ceiling leaks. And it occurred to me that this was really where ministry happens. This is really where the rubber hits the road, that if we could only invest our riches and our wealth in those places, like the food bank or the church that had closed, what would have happened if we had really, really invested in that particular corner? I mean, isn't that really where love happens? Isn't that really where the compassion of Jesus Christ is made known and made manifest? Not through the phone lines and on television. But isn't it really that place where the hungry are fed, where the sorrowing are given good news, where people are receiving the love of other Christians gathered together in one place? And there were just these three little spots. My home church, the church that closed across the street, and the food bank, all within 200 yards of each other. And I thought, why haven't we invested in this? And what would the world look like if we could? We're the richest culture that maybe human history has ever known. And we choose to invest in things that are antiseptic, that look successful. But what would happen if we invested in the little food bank that feeds the hungry? So that got me to thinking about the Bible. That got me to thinking about what is the criterion? What does the Bible really say about love? What does the Bible really say about where we're supposed to invest our time and our talents and treasure? And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about enthusiasm as well. The Roman Catholic Church across the street did not close primarily because of money. It closed because of a lack of enthusiasm. People were no longer invested in that congregation anymore. And so that's why it closed, not so much the money. But the Bible doesn't talk about phone banks. The Bible mentions not a word about satellites or $1,000 donations on your credit cards. It mentions not a word about finely tailored suits or TV studios. What does the Bible talk about? Jesus, and you just heard it a few moments ago, Jesus said, "No greater love has anyone than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends." John 15, verse 17 says that you are to love one another as I, Jesus, have loved you. What if we brought the kind of professionalism that these dispatchers show, that these EMTs show, what if we brought that to our deeds of Christian love and mercy? What if we brought that kind of professionalism and always being ready to greet someone in the name of Jesus Christ, to provide for their needs, to really go out like an emergency team when somebody is in deep, deep trouble and they don't know where to turn? What if we as Christians knew how to be first responders for a situation like that? And I believe that's what Jesus is calling us to do. When you look at Jesus' life, Jesus never said, as far as I'm aware, Jesus never said, "You know what, that's some place where I'm just too busy and I'm just not interested." When people came to him, he found a way to meet their need. Whether it was hunger in the feeding of the 5,000, whether it was stilling the storm when the disciples were scared out of their minds that they were going to drown, whether it was the woman at the well in Samaria who had no major problem except everybody didn't like her. There was no one who liked her because she was the woman around town who had 5 boyfriends and no one wanted to be associated with her. And yet Jesus said, "I love you and I care for you. I want you to have a better life." So today, my friends, since we're talking about Mother's Day, we're talking about the gift of love, I invite you, this is my own challenge for myself as well, to bring the kind of professionalism and always being on top of things, always being ready like the dispatchers, always being ready to serve, and not being ready to serve at your job, although that's important, and not being ready to serve to answer the phone, although that might be important for what you do, but always being ready to serve in love, always being ready to look for that moment when you can share something of yourself and you can share something of Christ. Because your mother shared of herself all her life. She gave to you a lot of things, and we could have stories and stories about how moms have influenced our lives. Jesus loves you with that much love plus. And he wants you to share that love with other folks in our hurting world. Amen.